Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 50. I'm probably our smallest group for one anyway. Four of us here. This is Colin McMahon.
Joe F.
Adam Russell.
Jeremy Dan.
Everybody else bailed on us, but that's okay. We've got the core.
Got the cool kids crowd.
There we go.
I don't like following Joe in this.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to switch seats?
No offense, but I'm always afraid that I always think he's going to say something extra, and then I pause for a little while.
And then he's going to do Joe hands.
And then he doesn't do anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Minimalist this week.
Just okay. Well, lots of stuff happened last week. I figured we'd chat about. Some movie came out that people are really excited about.
Made a buck or two.
Yep.
Three Stooges?
No, that was out a couple weeks ago. I was trying to think. Oh, I should have written down something else that came out this week.
What studio is dumb enough to release something against it?
Some studio going, oh, crap.
Titanic 3D.
But we got a batch of Quarter Vowels. We got the new 52. I definitely want to talk about our upcoming in-store concert. And then some other stuff going on.
Am I in concert?
You're not, but someone else is. Now, in case there's some noise, we were kind of delaying starting the podcast because apparently we have a big stereo place behind us, you know, car stereo called Goosebumps, and somebody apparently had a lot of work done and they're very proud of it. And they are playing music very loudly that we can feel here in the store.
So. Turn your bass down a little bit.
Yeah, turn your bass down and maybe you won't notice it. But.
That is so distracting.
It is.
I wonder if the listeners can hear that bass.
Yeah. I just can't imagine sitting in that car. But.
All your LEDs are like.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Well, sadly, Adam forgot to bring the tacos, so maybe that's why nobody came.
Nobody told me.
Well, okay. Maybe. Well, we can't do it next week because next week, in lieu of podcast number 51, we'll be having the in-store concert by Adam Warrock. Which I think will be pretty cool. So if you don't know Adam Warrock, he does the music that you just listened to a little bit of and the song that ends the podcast. So stick around and you can listen to one of his songs.
And listen to episode whatever it is because we interviewed
him. Yeah, we interviewed him back in
February.
Yeah, it was back in second week in February. I wasn't here, but he called in. So
I can find the episode number.
Okay, you do that and I'll keep my head from rattling here. So we got the, okay, check. Hey, I get to check something off my list. I know I made a list today. Look out. The new 52 started last week, and I figured I'd get everybody's idea. Do you read any of those, Joe? No, you don't read comics. Never mind.
Joe,
I'm tapped out on comics. You know, Earth 2 seemed like the coolest one of the batch.
Earth 2 was. It was very good. I just got more in today. I sold through, which really surprised me because I thought I ordered plenty.
Mm-hmm. It was surprising, right?
It was. It was very surprising because my initial thoughts on it was that it was mostly like a Justice Society book.
Right.
And that's kind of how I ordered it. And I ordered, you know, probably more than double what Justice Society was selling, but I wasn't going to order it, you know, Justice League numbers. It didn't have, it had a good creative team, but Robinson and Nicola Scott aren't exactly Geoff Johns and Jim Lee. So
Did your sales do better after you posted something?
You know, I did. It was very funny because I posted I think on the Facebook site, and I just said I didn't know what to expect, but I thought it was very, very good. And then I had a lot of people come in and said, well, I saw you like this, and, you know, brought it up to the counter, which, you know, made my head swell and think, I have all this power. I can make you buy anything. But
I did buy Batman because of that today on hardcover.
Oh, because I talked it up. Well, it was really good.
You made me afraid that it was not going to be here ever again.
Right, because I can never get more of something I sell out of.
And you know, because we don't praise the guys at DC enough.
Yeah,
right.
What I was going to say is even though you missed the boat and apparently underordered, you were still able to reorder what? Like 10,
yeah, I got 10 more copies of that. And another thing that surprised me, which I was able to get 25 more copies of the DC free comic book day new 52 book that I think is going to be very important to the future of DC. So
we should talk about
why we have a brief pause. Adam Warrock was on Pittsburgh Comics Podcast episode 39 back in February 13th.
We didn't have a brief pause. You just pushed your way out.
I did, but it was brief enough for me to do that. So.
I thought the new 52 free comic book day issue was really cool. Do you guys
I was flipping through it, and I think part of my problem over the course of a couple of days, I went through all the Free Comic Book Day books. Just and I'm not reading them for content. I'm looking for problems, swear words, violence. You know, so that I could grade them G through R.
You're looking for content, not story.
Right. So I wasn't really reading
it to enjoy it.
Right. So
you probably read it with a different eye since you have been reading most of the New 52. Like I really came into this without having read New 52 before.
Okay.
Since this is coinciding with the release of the trades.
Right.
And I was so surprised at just, like, the character interactions and the way everybody is portrayed so different from what I was used to pre-New 52.
Right.
You're going to be in for a real treat then as you start to dive through all these New 52 trades that are coming out.
Yeah. What do you think deviates the absolute most, Jeremy?
I wouldn't even say it's things that deviate the most. I really... Mm-hmm. think it's the incorporation, like, because they're kind of fusing two separate universes together between Wildstorm and DC.
Yeah.
It's not so much that they're new characterizations, just that new combinations of characters interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Teen Titans seem to be interacting a lot now with Gen 13. And
okay.
Stormwatch seems to have some Justice League overtones. And it's just like kind of random characters popping up in kind of different, unexpected ways.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sure someone that pays a little bit more characters... Like, for example, the big ones all feel the same. Like, Batman feels like that. You know, nothing has changed about Batman.
Batman and Green Lantern were pretty well modernized before the flip.
Flash is kind of a combination now of the old Barry White, who was thought of as
Barry
being
Allen.
Kind of a... Or, yeah, sorry, Barry White. Barry Allen, that was thought of as being kind of a stuffy, conservative superhero, and Wally West.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... And kind of dovetailing with that Earth 2, it's like they... have taken Wally West and split him up, sent part of it to Barry Allen's Flash, like the characterization there,
okay.
And part of it to Jay Garrick, who's in Earth 2.
Uh-huh. Okay, now Wally West is my favorite Flash.
Mine too.
Now tell me, what part of Wally West is in Barry Allen?
I think just the overall kind of youth. Barry Allen now seems much more youthful,
mm-hmm.
whereas before he was like,
I think that's something like he was missing.
Yeah, he was like your dad.
Yeah.
So he has that kind of youth, and in addition to the youth, he has that recklessness that Wally had that made Wally such a compelling character. Like, you're not reading The Flash, but if you were, you know, one of the big things with this opening arc has been, you know, Barry pushing his powers to the extreme is causing problems, like physics-type problems that are manifesting themselves in Central City and Keystone City and causing, like, problems for the people. And the old Barry Allen, you know, being much more responsible, probably would have abided by the limitations and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas new Barry Allen kind of chooses, like, heroics and chooses family and people he cares about over that greater good, which is a much more, to me, Wally West.
The later Wally West.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, like, a bit even early Wally West was a bit more reckless.
Oh, yeah.
But
choosing family.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, you know, choosing family, the recklessness, it's kind of a in-between the old Barry Allen and Wally West. And then in Earth 2, when I flipped through Earth 2 the first time, without reading it, just looking at the art, I was like, oh, this is where Wally West is.
Uh-huh.
Because they've drawn Jay Garrick.
Young.
He looks like Wally West.
Mm.
Like, young and red, like, to me, what looked like red hair. Now it's, could just be coloring, and he's the brown hair that, but, you know, Jay Garrick has always been kind of the dark.
Gray hair.
Well, the gray hair, and then darker brown.
Yeah.
It's like Jay had darker brown, Barry was blonde, and Wally was a redhead.
Have they released costumes for Jay Garrick yet? Jay Garrick and Alan Scott?
Yeah, he's right.
He's in the New 52?
Okay.
They did have his, I just, it's not him.
Okay, so it's actually kind of almost looks like Johnny Quick from the old Crime Syndicate.
But yeah, that's kind of... And Green Lanterns is kind of just Green Lantern outfit. It's the symbol of an actual, like, a lantern-type deal.
Kind of like the one right before... the one that Mark Bagley redesigned, that armor-looking one that has the bat.
Was Alex Ross for Kingdom Come?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was.
It is green, though. It's not red, like his old... Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I want to know who this Green Lantern is that's in the New 52 fighting Batman.
That's what you have to wait and find out.
I thought it might be Guy Gardner because somebody calls him Guy.
This guy here?
But there is a Guy Gardner in the New 52 JLI.
I know better than talk from Wick. I think he's just saying, hey, guy.
You know, hey, guy. More watch like that. Watch it, pal.
Is it Earth 23's Green Lantern? Because I didn't read that in Action Comics.
Yeah, I didn't read that one yet.
What I like about this New 52 book, though, this is what I expect that a free comic book does.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's new. It's kind of an introduction type thing.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of sells its own story.
Yep.
Anybody could have jumped into the story and made them interested in it. They mm-hmm. don't really have to know anything about these characters. And then at the end of the book...
Gives you the previews for the new...
It's previews for new books that they're
which
coming
out. Which is funny
about
the four-page spread. Four-page spread?
Yeah, which is what funny because...
Oh, yeah, and then a preview for their big event that's coming up, the Trinity War.
Well, and when it was originally announced, all they really announced was the previews, so everybody was just like, oh, you know, nice and all, but not really... They didn't tell you there was going to be that new story.
Right, the new story. And just, again, kudos to DC for doing that, because Marvel just gave us...
the same thing we've read.
Well, we gave an Avengers reprint from a year ago, plus... And then they also gave us the Avengers number one from 2 years ago. And what else did they give us? Oh, the preview for the Spider-Man point one, the first chapter of the season
one.
They
could have brought something out that even had, like, a character in it that was from the movie. Like, you know, having Thanos in the movie. Yeah.
Hey, what'd you guys think of the Justice League trophy room? I want to read.
You know, it's funny because I kind of missed that. Like I said, when I was really just reading it.
No, that's not the Justice
glossing
League's
over.
Trophy room. That's Argus. That's their black room.
Right. It is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the Justice League?
My favorite thing that's in there is this tank.
Yeah, well, I saw it on Bleeding Cool. It identified a bunch of the things on there, but identified 15 of the things on there, which is pretty cool. Like, one's the Spear of Destiny.
Is that the haunted tank?
Yep. That's the haunted tank. There's a red lantern in the back.
Yeah. My favorite thing is this crazy-looking bell that says, do not ring. I want to ring that.
Well, you would.
Whose suit of armor is that?
Back there, that's demons.
Okay.
And that apparently that's the demons.
Wasn't there something...
Dinosaur.
Did have a bell that you weren't supposed to ring?
I don't know.
That does sound familiar. That's cool.
That's supposed to be Viking Prince's boat.
Ah, right.
You know what I like about...
Like I said, Bleeding Cool had a bunch of...
Giant penny?
No, but it's not. It's a Roman coin, so it's not...
Oh, it's probably that Judas coin.
Ooh.
You know what I like?
His name's Mass.
I like
that's cool.
What I like about Argus...
Oh, is that...
From in...
the guy, only guy to make it through the crisis. Psycho Pirate. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Where's that? Oh, wow. Sweet.
So, yeah.
What I like about Argus is they're what S.H.I.E.L.D. should be.
Yeah,
they've lost.
What's that?
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has lost what they're... Well, they're... I don't know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is anymore. They're so disassembled.
Huh? It is.
I like this spread here, though, that we have that has, like, them fighting against Cyborg.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to...
Is that Cyborg?
They're fighting against Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And then
ooh,
Batman,
there's the Atom.
Batman is carrying Pandora's box.
And then, is this,
Black
who's that?
Adam?
No, I'm sorry, we're looking on the far left bottom corner.
Is it Wally West?
No,
that's somebody with some type of vibration or sound power.
Hmm.
Or is it telekinetic?
Yeah, but I'm excited.
Oh, wait, but there are two Flashes.
Yeah, there are two Flashes.
Unless
he's just moving so fast.
Okay.
Nice try.
And then we have the Atom, which we haven't seen the Atom yet.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of characters we haven't seen in New 52 yet.
Rob Liefeld, Hawkman, and dive into the Atom.
What's her name? Elemental Girl or Element? What's her name?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Or is she was from Flashpoint? I mean, I know she was around before, but that was she was one of the characters. Yeah.
But her name was Element.
But
Lady
Neil Gaiman killed her.
Was that
but the New 52 brought
the Wednesday
back.
Comics?
No, it was in Sandman.
Oh, really?
He killed her. Yeah.
That was, why
she was a pre-existing character.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Deadman here trying to possess Black Adam, which is crazy.
Or is that Shazam, since we haven't seen Shazam yet?
Nah, that's Black Adam.
I thought we did see Shazam. Wasn't he in a backup?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, but they haven't shown what Shazam looks like yet.
Oh, really?
They had him, but they haven't had him as... Well, they showed Shazam.
Did they?
Yeah, they just showed him the last page or something, and then it was...
I probably missed it.
He had a hood.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I do remember now.
Then we got our Batman Incorporated preview that has this guy dressed up as one of those guys from Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, Mutants.
Very cool.
So all in all, I don't know. This right here was my favorite of the New 52. I thought it did a good job of being its own type of thing.
You mean the Free Comic Book Day books?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Free Comic Book Day books called the New 52. There we go.
So of the next of this new wave of the New 52, what would you guys say was the second?
Earth. The second.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Earth 2 was the coolest.
I like Dial H
as well. I thought Dial H was just kind of a different
book. I will say, though, I have not read World's Finest. Or
World's Finest tied it real nicely. If you read Earth 2, you kind of got the prequel to World's Finest.
Oh, yeah? They take place on the same Earth?
Well, yes, because what happens is they Huntress and Power Girl find themselves on Earth
1.
And now they have to find their way back to Earth 2. And there's an event in the Earth 2 number 1, the comic, that causes them to go to Earth 1. And the World's Finest kind of follows it up.
Does it clarify then, or can we know for sure, based off of World's Finest, which I haven't read yet, where the Huntress miniseries took place at that was out?
I don't know.
So these two characters...
I don't think they are from
Earth 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hanging out on Earth 1.
And the neat thing, the way they are, it's Supergirl and Robin on Earth 2.
Oh, sweet. That is sweet.
Oh, sweet.
But because there's already a Supergirl and Robin on Earth 1, they change their names to Power Girl and Huntress.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool, Colin. And what about this Kevin Maguire and George Perez artwork?
Kevin Maguire, I believe, did the 5 years... Because the Earth 2, most of it takes place 5 years ago.
Okay.
And so 5 years ago, they got sent. So I think he did... Kevin Maguire, I believe, did the... Yeah, because this is where they find there's a Superman. So the Kevin Maguire did the 5 years ago, where George Perez does the today.
Oh, that's really... I love it when they do stuff like that.
So it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Dial H, I thought, was really good. Definitely a Vertigo book, which I really liked, because the original Dial H was a guy hits the dial and becomes a little superhero for that issue. Very, very Silver Age-y. In this one, it's much more Vertigo. The guy's friend is being attacked. He starts banging on the phone. Apparently, Dial's hero. And all of a sudden, he turns into Boy Chimney. Takes care of the problem. Later on, he goes back to this phone trying to figure out what's going on. It's a dial phone, so that was one criticism I read was, how are you accidentally going to dial hero on a rotary phone? But
just age. You just need age.
So he did it again, and it was funny because I forget, but he uses the same numbers but picks different letters off them. If so. And he becomes another guy. I forget. It was like Captain Laconic or something. It makes everybody depressed. It was quite funny.
Oh, wow.
But so, yeah, it's definitely just Dial H with a very dark twist. And it's supposed to be very, very good. It's a novelist doing it. So I think the art was fantastic. Was really good in some spots. Some spots, like the humans, looked a little odd. But, like, looking at Boy Chimney, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
G.I. Combat, I enjoyed. I enjoyed it far more than I enjoyed Men of War.
That war that Time forgot.
Yes, which was a kind of a neat setup where they're in off the shore of Korea. The Koreans are doing something. There's this area that's all of a sudden under radar blackout. They couldn't penetrate, so they send in this helicopter to see what's going on. All of a sudden, the helicopter makes it through this curtain or whatever, and all of a sudden they're being attacked by pterodactyls. And they land and find that the North Koreans are also being attacked by, the dinosaurs and stuff.
Do you remember, did DC call it back in the day, is it Dinosaur Island?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. It's Monster Island is Godzilla, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's where that name goes with.
And then the backup story, which actually was longer than the front story, which made Matt Lytle decided to buy it because he was only interested in the Palmiotti and Gray's Unknown Soldier. And when he actually sat and counted the pages, realized that story was longer as opposed to just being a little backup story. But it was kind of a new take on Unknown Soldier, a guy who gets, I don't want to say mutilated, but his face stuff in the war. And basically then the Army takes him as, you know, their undercover guy. Kind of like what he was in World War II,
okay.
But just updated.
Which one of the old DC, I might be getting Haunted Tank and Unknown Soldier mixed up. Wasn't there one where there was like a ghost that like possessed?
Haunted Tank was,
that was a ghost.
Yeah, that was
okay.
A ghost.
That's probably what
that
I'm
that was
thinking.
Sherman's ghost, I believe.
But Unknown Soldier had like the bandages
right.
over his
right.
face, right?
Right, and that's the same with this guy. But I think they do know who he is.
Right.
So he's not so much unknown, but he's he's going to be the guy going undercover and wearing masks and all that great stuff. That those old great Kubert Unknowns. I mean, I remember reading those things. Those were awesome.
Is so both the new war things are set like World War II, Korean War, like
no, the new one is current.
Okay,
the war that Time Forgot is current.
Okay,
and no, they're both current. And
okay.
The other one, the guy got hurt in Afghanistan or Iraq. You know,
cool.
It's, so yeah, no, they're both current.
I like that too.
Now, Ravagers hasn't come out yet.
No, that hasn't come out neither. Is Batman Inc. Right? We also got Smallville, but I never watched the show. I know, sacrilege, but so I didn't read it because it just. It's in the pile, but it didn't make it to the top because I'm not that super interested in it.
So Beast Boy, he was never red, right?
No, he was always red.
They've changed that because of Animal Man. Because his powers come from a connection to the red, like Animal Man.
Oh.
So that's why he's now red instead of green.
Sweet.
Okay, so when I heard that, I'm like,
that's awesome.
That makes sense.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
Hmm. Now, what's the red?
The red is
it's the
fauna. It's the, like, where the green was Swamp Thing and all plants and stuff.
Yeah.
The red, right, but the
it's
red
like
is the animal life.
It's like a mystical
and everything
energy
like that.
Source
right.
that you tap into if you're a plant elemental or an animal elemental.
Wow.
So,
very, very nicely
yeah,
put, man.
So, that's what that, and then there's the rot, which is death.
If he was
black.
Green, he'd have to be a plant.
Right.
Basically means come Christmas time,
boy.
There's got to be a killer crossover.
Well, yeah, it is.
So wait, who's the rot?
The rot is Alistair Arcane from Swamp Thing.
Ah.
His daughter Abby, she, if you look at the cover of like the recent Swamp Thing,
yeah.
She's the creature of
now,
the rot.
Back in the Alan Moore days, did Abby Arcane ever go bad the way she has in the new story?
No, I don't believe
or
she
not,
did.
Not
but,
bad, but get corrupted.
No, nothing like that, but it was just, he was in love with her, but I think, it's Alistair Arcane, right?
I think so.
But he was always the big bad.
Hmm.
Or not always, but...
Right, and
he
she,
was the big bad, though, even through the first
and one
of
their things
Swamp
was
things.
The fact
That's
that
matter.
Abby chose Swamp.
He knows we're talking about him.
Who
hey, are you guys talking about my book?
Who's on the background of this Ravagers comic? There's just
who's
two people in the background. You just can't see it. They don't
yeah, what's the deal with that? So they say Beast Boy, that's the red
so
bear. Tara, that's the blonde girl
right
with
here.
Blue hair. No, no, right here, right?
No, Tara's the one barefoot because she's the earth elemental.
No,
yeah,
right.
She's moving the rocks.
Thunder and Lightning are the blue chick with the punk hair and the guy with the blast.
Where are they from? Weren't they from something in Flashpoint?
Well, no. Thunder and Lightning are old Teen Titans villains. I think in the original Teen Titans, they were some Asian descent. I don't remember. I want to say Japanese, but they were like brothers. And it was
Thunder
and Lightning.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't there a Flashpoint character called Thunder and Lightning, like a brother and a sister?
Right, but I mean, the original
right,
Thunder...
Back
yeah, it goes back to, like, 60s Teen... They're one of the original Teen Titans villains. And then Fairchild, you know who she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, from Gen 13 in the foreground here. Good to see her.
And I think Ridge...
And Superboy.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming Ridge is the...
This crazy-looking dinosaur guy.
Yeah.
So what is Ridge from?
So we don't know who the people in the background are.
Well, probably some Wildstorm book.
Yeah, I'm guessing Ridge is Wildstorm.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are these two people, Colin. Do you see these people? One has light coming out of his head, and then one is just flying. We don't,
okay.
They don't announce... Actually, there's some people in the corner over
oh,
here, too, Adam.
That's Bill. That's Terry.
Well, I'm getting. They're probably random people from this collective, because this is the stuff
the not today's issue, but the last most recent issue of Superboy prior to this one.
Yeah.
He gets captured, not by Nowhere, but by this other group. Mm-hmm. And they're all wearing the Tron costumes.
The Colonies.
I forget what they're called. The Harvest.
The Harvest.
The Harvest. So, the, you know? All these characters are in there.
It is but Nowhere, it's, but it's not.
Like, yeah, it's like
it was Nowhere was like their... What
and
they were hiding,
and they make it out like it's some gladiatorial arena where these superpowered kids fight each other to the death to figure out who the strongest and most dangerous are. Because basically, like, Superboy gets captured by the Harvest, and then all of a sudden, like, Terra and Beast Boy show up at, like, the end of... the issue.
I guess if you're going to be interested in this book, though, you'd have to be kind of interested in super what they're doing to Superboy.
Well, I kind of yeah. Right, I mean, it's pretty. I think it's going to be pretty much required reading if you're reading Teen Titans
because they're brought up. Like Fairchild, Fairchild is the one that's really brought up. There's a character here that was with them that is not here, and I don't really know where he is.
Basically, Scott Lobdell is writing some type of, you know, mystery about this Nowhere organization and what it is and what their goals are, and this. Seems like it's going to tie into that.
I think we'll have to see what happens with the Colin.
It's the writer here.
Howard Mackey of
Danny Ketch Ghost Rider.
90s Marvel thing. He did that. He did
the
X
whole
gang
is getting back together.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
90s Marvel.
All the 90s Marvel people are now working in DC.
Because
you got Bob Harris, who used to be editor-in-chief. You got Scott Lobdell, who used to do all the X-books.
Basically, DC hired Bob Harris.
Bobby Chase.
Bob Harris has hired... darn near everybody that's worked in Marvel. And
you got Liefeld doing all these books.
Oh, yeah.
Fabian Nicieza, Scott Lobdell, Howard Mackey, yeah.
And then Batman Inc. I'm excited for.
Big
that,
time.
That is pretty cool, though. The,
even just continuing on what was a great, you know, great stuff before.
I'm just curious what they're going to do with it with New 52. I think that's what I'm... if they're even going to do anything at all. But I just want to read it because it's just...
I love Damian Wayne Robin.
Yeah, me too.
I love that he's written like a character that like there's no other character calling Alfred by his last name and you know, ordering around.
Well, and you know, we talk up Batman and Scott Snyder all the time. Yeah. I got to tell you that first Batman and Robin arc.
Yeah.
Like the first issue was kind of weak.
Yeah.
But that thing built and built and built, and they just wrapped up the first storyline with like issue 7 or 8. I'm so off on my issue numbering.
You're talking about the Peter Tomasi, Patrick Gleason, New 52 Batman and Robin.
It was like a freight train by the end. It just like built and built and built, and then boom, like the cliffhanger just hit, and you're just dumbfounded. It is, if you like Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
You gotta be reading that book. It is.
Yeah. It was a good book.
Like, for me right now, Batman and Batman and Robin are like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Like, I really would put Batman and Robin.
That's why I was so happy that they both came out today.
How interesting.
Because I was like, oh, geez, this is like a Batman overload.
Really good, huh? Yeah, really good.
Batman overload. Actually, of all of those are my two favorites. I just can't get into Detective Comics.
Yeah, it's okay, but it's clearly overshadowed by Batman and Batman and Robin.
Which
remember they announced Batman and Robin, the Patrick Gleason and Peter Tomasi arc, who was supposed to follow the Grant Morrison arc. They pushed it off for the reboot.
And it's one of those things where they're so great because they're two totally different aspects of Batman. It's like Batman is really just... Batman alone and his interaction with Gotham.
Yeah.
Whereas Batman and Robin gives you know, Batman as a father.
Wow.
And just all the crazy things you can do. I mean, if you were a fan of Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin, it really is a...
Plus, we haven't seen that interaction yet because he was dead.
Right,
because
the Batman and Robin was Dick and Damian.
Yeah.
And so this has just been... And it... As much as I love Grant Morrison, one of the strengths of Batman and Robin is it's a little more straightforward, and it really does focus more on this father-son dynamic. And like
mainly because I think it's more of a it's a bigger story. Scott Snyder's is writing a bigger story, but he's keeping it smaller yeah. stories.
Because Peter J. Tomasi, he writes, you know, Damian is this really cool, fun character that everybody likes.
Yeah.
But by the same token, he's very quick to remind everyone what kind of background Damian, you know, short of X-23, Damian Wayne, you could argue, is one of the most screwed up characters, like...
Mm-hmm. Used to be an assassin.
Yeah, like, mentally, like, the fact that this kid is functioning is really, like, you know, kind of a testament to something, but... And Peter J. Tomasi never lets that get... He never lets the sarcasm and the wisecracking take you too far from reminding you, you know, what a damaged kid Damian really is, and, you know, how much work Bruce has to do to kind of redeem him and make sure his path is, you know.
Now that we're into Batman, though, we can get into Night of Owls.
Court of Owls.
Court of Owls. Night of the... Oh, no.
Night of Owls.
Well, it's, yeah. Yeah, it was Court of Owls, but this is Night of Owls.
Oh, you're right. Huh. You know, I wondered because the first Batman hardcover. Well, the first Batman hardcover is called The Court of Owls.
That
and
is
I was
the
like,
Court of Owls.
If that,
volume
if the name
two
of the,
is The Night of Owls.
Yeah, if the name of the crossover is Court of Owls, right. What are they going to call it?
Now, the basic idea between Night of Owls, since it started 2 weeks ago, I think we're safe in at least giving the overview, yeah. is the owls have decided to come out since Batman beat the one who turns out was related
well, I guess
to
made judgment.
Dick. They decided to release all the owls, and or all the talons, and with a list of dignitaries and things in Gotham that they're going after. And I guess Batman, I forget who got it first, Dick or Batman got it, and so Alfred broadcast it. So this is why all the Bat family is involved
yeah,
and they're
like
taking
a code
off.
Red.
Right, and they all, you know, I'll get this guy, and they're all running trying to protect these, and they're... The people are dropping like flies.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because we all thought it was going to, you know, because they said each Bat member has their own owl. We kind of all thought that the owls, the talons, were coming after them.
Right.
But they're not.
And, yeah. And I have to give some love to Scott Snyder because I've always said on the podcast I'm a much bigger Dick Grayson fan than I am a Bruce Wayne fan. And I was kind of disappointed when Scott Snyder switched from Dick to Bruce between the new 52, but I love the way all of the stuff with Dick has now played up with this Court of Owls. Like,
yeah, Higgins has done a really good job on that.
The Nightwing stuff was awesome, and just like, you know, the story, the way they, you know, intertwine Dick into this underground mythology of Gotham,
yeah.
like, it was really cool.
Yeah, it's nice that they're all working together, you know, him
yeah.
and Higgins. Tying those stories together. Yeah, it's been good. The new one was really good. The backup story was interesting in the last issue of Batman. The backup story just kind of continued the story a little bit. And the one that comes out today, very different backup story. Very neat. Still Raphael Albuquerque, who
this
does...
This is not the Two-Face stuff, right?
No, that was Detective.
Okay.
That we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really good. I haven't read any of the other Batman. I didn't read Batgirl or Batman Robin this week.
Remind me quickly what the... backup was
back when last time was just him in the armor coming
right,
out of
right.
the
oh, yeah.
out of the armory where the main story ended.
Yes, now I remember.
This one's much different. It's a story of Alfred's father and how he caused the problems with the Waynes. Is very interesting. Well worth the extra dollar.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
I realize, you know, it's a dollar more, and some people are...
They make it worth it. I'm good with
it. It was definitely worth it. I didn't read Batwing last week, but I know Matt was very disappointed with Detective.
I was disappointed
and,
with both.
Detective, I didn't... Like, he said it was unreadable. I didn't find the main story to be unreadable. A little confusing. The backup story, the Two-Face thing, I
yeah,
thought was completely unreadable. I couldn't figure out what was going
on. The issue before, I think, is where it started.
Oh, see, I didn't read that.
And I read, like, a couple pages and just was like, no.
Just you couldn't tell who was who and who he was looking for. It was very
convoluted.
Yeah. So, yeah, I almost have to say right now Detective is the... Well,
yeah.
I haven't read Dark Knight since
there,
like, issue 3.
And that's the problem right now with Batman is that, like, if you just talk the four Batman books and not the family books, Batman and Robin and Batman are so good, But they are unfortunately balanced out by Detective and Dark Knight that are...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's two
writer artists. DC's two top-tier writer artists. Tony Daniel and Dave Finch.
Well,
do
the problem
not
with
live
Finch
up.
Even now is he's not drawing it, and he has a co-writer.
Wow.
So, and it started out as this, like, Bane/Scarecrow story.
Two-Face? One-Face?
Well, wasn't it the bunny, whatever? Was
yeah,
this?
And
yeah.
she... She's and still her going. Whole deal is, like...
Energizer Rabbit.
Kind of odd,
there,
like, when they...
It was a big seller. That was one of the top sellers.
Yeah, well, no, it... And if you go look on Colin's shelves, Dark Knight, he's, like, missing, like, back issues of that. That one has been selling very well. Okay. Detective is probably...
I think it also depends on generations, too. I know a person that's a different generation that grew up with an older Batman, and he's actually enjoying Detective, or not Detective, Dark Knight more than Batman.
Yeah,
because it's you know, dealing with older villains.
Yeah, and
type of Batman they dealt with.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be the Batman and villain book,
mm-hmm.
like more than any of the others. Like you're getting all of his rogues gallery thrown at you.
Are they redesigning the rogues?
For the most part, no.
They kind of redesigned Bane, right?
You know, for the most part, I think they've left the rogues out of most of the books. I was talking about this with someone else. And it's been interesting that they, for the new DC, pretty much it's all new villains.
Yep.
Hmm. So that, and I'm sure that was an editorial decision. Whereas, so somebody jumping in, you don't have to know everything about this character and everything about the villain. You can read Batgirl, and you can learn about Batgirl without also having to know that her prior relations with different villains.
I think the only book that it somewhat hurts is Flash, because for.
Yeah,
so
but they brought in
it,
the rogues.
Yeah,
so.
But just that they kind of defined that book as much as the Flash, more so than most other books.
I saw in the Flash Annual they're introducing Captain Cold.
And it's, I mean, like with Superman, as long as you have Lex Luthor, him and Brainiac, nobody really cares too much about the rest of Superman's rogues gallery. You can create new villains. But like Batman, obviously, you can't.
Yeah, he's
you can't not have the Joker.
My main two issues that I've had with the Night of Owls, the Night of Owls books are those two comics, Detective, Detective. I don't even know what, like, it wasn't even needed, like, and it didn't make any sense with
And it was a late edition.
Well, I was gonna say that.
Well, it dealt with the Black Mask for one, and the Black Mask. Was being held in Arkham Asylum, led by Arkham Asylum was being ran by Jeremiah Arkham, mm-hmm. which made no sense to me because he was the Black Mask in that issue not too long ago,
right.
And
but that was pre-New 52.
But he was also in whenever they had that breakout. I think I don't remember which book that was, but New 52, he was an inmate. He was sitting there with the rest of the inmates.
In the first Batman,
yeah. So that didn't make any sense why he's running the asylum again.
Right.
The other thing, I could be wrong about this, but I kind of saw in that the Black Mask was using some sort of, like, hypnotic
mind powers. Yeah.
And I don't remember the Black Mask having mind powers.
No.
Yeah.
I remember him just being kind of a mob boss. So, I mean...
Maybe he was a mob boss with mind powers, and that's how he became the mob boss.
He must have just figured out he had mind powers. Yeah. I don't remember any of that.
I think the Black Mask
the whole
is a cool
book,
villain.
Yeah, he is. But the whole book wasn't needed. It added nothing to the New 52. So, yeah, there, now we'll know. my other issue book that I just... This is the first time I didn't like Batwing.
Oh, yeah?
I've loved Batwing since the first issue. But, like, this issue of Batwing was not needed.
You know that
need to be at the
I can
about.
Say in some ways that doesn't surprise me because the thing with Batwing is that it came across as such a strong origin story.
Yeah.
That when you wrap that up, where do you go?
Yeah. And this could have been just a filler until they get a new story going.
A breather issue.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Batwing was a character from the 70s?
He was in, like, Batman or Detective Circuit 250.
It was, like, one issue, and he was in a dream mm-hmm. where a kid in the city was dreaming that, like a few kids were dreaming up their own, like, I heard Batman's like this. And one kid is like,
no, Batman's, he didn't have any powers.
Yeah, I didn't.
A combination of James Bond and Shaft. And that was Batwing, his imagination of Batman.
James Bond and Shaft. That isn't that the new Nick Fury?
Animated episode.
Oh, man. Well, it is. Samuel L. Jackson played Shaft.
That's how he was in the...
And Nick Fury is like a James Bond.
X-Men issues when he's first introduced.
Yeah. James Bond Shaft.
That's interesting.
Nick Fury. Ultimate Nick Fury. Movie Nick Fury. So we figured out that...
We're talk about the movie.
Black Mask does not have mind powers.
You want to talk about the movie or the crossover?
I think we have two dissenting opinions on the movie. I know the rest of us really enjoyed it. And at least one of them to show up just so... Other than us going, wasn't it cool when... And Joe hasn't seen it yet, so we can give Joe a little time.
Joe, go
to
see the movie. No, let's talk about it. And whoever didn't show up doesn't get to talk about it.
No, but it would be more fun if we're yelling and screaming at each other. So.
Oh, right.
Or we have different opinions
for better radio.
So, all right, Ryan, well, you want to call it a day then?
Because...
But now,
then holy.
Now the onus is on you,
well,
Mr.
hang on.
Jode.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to only because this has been an all-DC podcast.
Yeah.
And that's unacceptable.
Okay.
Because we need to be fair and balanced.
All right.
Hey, I know. Let's
I couldn't
talk
get
about...
that out with a straight face. I'm sorry. But I figured AVX3 came out last week.
We didn't talk about AVX.
We didn't talk about AVX yet. So we talked about... We had a great conversation.
We had a very short red
shirt. Had a very great pre-podcast conversation.
Is it wrong that my overwhelming opinion of AVX is kind of a surprise... Hey, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
This isn't as bad as Fear itself.
But, which is not to say it's good or it's amazing. It's just, I'm just really dumbfounded that it's not the horrible train wreck I thought it would be.
I'm liking it. My biggest issue with it is how the rating styles change, because they're going to.
I think Joe is going to have trouble when he tries to read this in hardcover, only because... each issue has been written by a different person, and each person has a different voice for the different characters.
Yes.
So Captain America is inconsistent book to book to book. And I think that you're going to be kind of, wait a minute, last issue, you know, it just, and some writers, everybody sounds alike, some they don't, and it's just...
Which writer has everybody sounding alike?
Bendis generally has everybody in the same tone.
You know who's written the best AVX stuff so far is Jason Aaron.
I agree.
Yeah. Jason Aaron wrote issue 2, and he also wrote Versus issue 1.
Yeah,
it's
issue 2 was
we
my
all
favorite.
Agreed on something.
Yeah, it's because the bad guys aren't here.
But you know the one thing? I don't... If this, stop me if this starts to be spoilery. I don't feel like it's super spoilery.
Stop in a week.
Oh. It's on, well, and it's on the cover. So basically... the thing that happens in issue 3...
The thing?
With Cap... Oh. Basically, Cap decides on his own that Wolverine can't be trusted. Even though everything Wolverine's done up to that point has been totally backing Cap, and Scott's a lunatic, we need to take Scott down.
I think his...
Okay, hang on, let me jump in just...
Yes, please.
Wait till issue 4.
Okay. Like, it makes more sense in issue 4. Because that was the thing I was like, wait, all of a sudden Cap is like,
well,
turning
on sale
on
next week.
He also, he didn't, I don't think he liked how Wolverine went off on his own to go after her.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it triggered him that he said, okay,
like
we can't trust you. We thought we could, but we can't.
But the only thing I didn't like about it is it seemed somewhat underhanded of Cap to do.
Yeah.
And up until this point, they had done this, you know, very much a Cap's in the right, Cyclops is in the wrong kind of presentation.
Yeah.
That it just seemed odd all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's what he did. You know, I don't disagree with him. My point, my thing about Wolverine is Wolverine might kill Hope, but that's killing Hope. That's not stopping the Phoenix Force.
Right.
The Phoenix Force, if it can't find its host, most likely it'll destroy Earth.
Yeah.
So I can't really see that as working. So I don't blame him. But knowing Wolverine, he'll show up again. You know,
he's
He's not gonna let Antarctica stand in his way. Or
yeah, no, it's now become like the three prong Avengers versus X Men
and Wolverine.
Takes a very interesting turn in four. That's okay. I do get the preview. I mean, I pay for him, but I get the preview.
Oh sure, that was...
So I have read it.
Ryan Sargent brought up a good point.
What?
Does Hickman write it?
No,
issue. Is Hickman writing any of this?
I don't think so. He's not one of the architects.
Okay, good.
Or he's an architect, but not of the... I don't know.
Because we were discussing that. He thought maybe he might write the next issue.
No, we
were like, wow, that's going to be an odd job.
I think it's Brubaker, Bendis, Fraction, and Aaron.
I don't think
it was Fraction. I don't remember.
But we already had Aaron. I guess they don't have to
alternate.
Who did one?
They should. Brubaker. Should be organized.
Bendis did one.
Who did one, Joe?
Yeah, Bendis did one because I...
That was
the one I did not care for.
And number three was Brubaker. Okay, that makes sense.
This is a non-stamped one.
Now,
would you say prior to reading four that issue three seemed a little odd?
Mm-hmm.
Like the way all of a sudden... Mm-hmm.
I like two a lot. Three was okay. I'm looking... How do I say this nicely? I'm looking forward to a new artist.
Are they changing every four?
That's my guess. I don't
know. Romita's only the first four.
But, yeah. So maybe you can start writing.
What, are they changing on Axe?
I don't know.
You'd think that John Romita Jr. would be better at drawing Wolverine. Don't you guys think he draws Wolverine for this?
My problem with him is just everything looks rushed and nothing's consistent. They'll look, especially like in the one next week, I don't know if he didn't draw it or the inker... took more control over it, but there were some pages that were just beautiful.
You know what?
Some of them just looked so rushed.
I miss John Romita circa 1980 when he was doing this stuff in Iron Man and doing his X-Men run before he decided to do Frank Miller blocky art style.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's been devolving ever since.
I agree.
It's like he draws with a thin pencil.
Go look at his like X-Men run,
very
which was
sketched.
Like...
Yeah.
180 to right before Mutant Massacre,
mm-hmm.
and it's some of my favorite art.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But
I didn't mind it, Spider-Man.
But if you looked at that and then looked at his AVX, it's like he in the late 80s, early 90s when Frank Miller changed his art style, right after Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Romita changed his...
Was that his second run on Uncanny X-Men, like 280?
Yeah, it was
that was
a
when
blocky.
He changed it?
No, he changed it before that, like when he started doing Daredevil, his around 250.
All right.
That was real... That's first place I noticed it.
His art style really worked in Straczynski's run of Spider-Man, though. I always did like it. I don't know if it's just Straczynski stories were kind of a dark kind of... I don't know. Something about it just, it works.
Well,
but some things it's just like, nah.
It wasn't as over-exaggerated, the blockiness. He got back to the more angular.
Like, and he can do a better job doing a full-bodied costume than he can do faces and stuff.
I agree with that. He's better at an action shot.
Which might be why you were saying about Wolverine.
Yeah, his
expressions. Because Wolverine, what is it? Just mouth, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I was just sitting here thinking about him doing Kick-Ass and then thinking, you know, someone I really did like was McNiven on Nemesis.
Yeah.
What has he done recently?
Steve,
so that's how Nemesis.
He did
awesome.
Old Man Logan. And
that was awesome.
That was before.
Yeah, where's
Nemesis?
He been?
He's taking a nap.
Could be. I'd bring him back. I want more of that. That was good stuff.
Wake him up.
Yeah.
What else came out? Anything
that's
else?
It. Yeah, I think that's about it. One thing I do want to point out, I signed up with this company. For some marketing help. I don't know if help, but they made an offer and it sounded pretty neat. And so one thing I'm doing is collecting emails. And what part of it is, it's doing this promotion where it's a reward club loyalty type of thing where you get a card and every time you swipe it and you get what?
Comic perks,
okay. we're trying to come up with a name for it.
Better gas prices.
Right. No, but where you swipe it, and however much you spend, you get points based on your purchase. And after you hit a certain number of points, you get like a coupon for money off your next purchase. So, and the other thing I'm going to be doing is there's going to be lots of email specials that are not going to be announced in the store, and it's only to people who have these cards. So if you want to participate, just shoot me your email address. Either I have the sign-up sheets here in the store. The store email is just colin@pittsburghcomics.com, or I think there's a sign-up thing also on the website. So
look at it this way. Instead of getting useless coupons for stores you don't care about, you'll be getting them for the comic shop, which everybody loves.
Right. So we're just trying something a little different.
You mean I'm not getting taco coupons?
Well, maybe. Who knows? We could do something crazy that way. But so, if you're interested,
just for you.
I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. It's just a way for me to get in touch with you more than just putting something up on the website that you might not see this way. I can send an email. I think they also have a thing. If you give them your cell phone number, we're going to do special texts.
Like when you get a new collection in that has, like, a really cool thing, you could
say. Yeah, I can just do a little burst saying, hey, I just got, a full run of this in. We're sometimes throwing it up on Twitter and stuff. I know I have people mention, hey, did you see my, tweet? It's like, no, because I'm not looking at it all day, every day. Or this is something a little more that I can direct right to you. So, and well, like I said, we'll do specials. We'll do, 1 week it'll be, you'll get double points on certain things, that I'm trying to promote. So it just, if you're interested, I don't see any reason not to be interested, to be honest, but, shoot me an email. We'll get everybody set up. I just signed up for this. So we're not going to have the cards for a couple weeks. So.
Just your name and your firstborn child.
No.
We changed that.
I am working on doing direct deposit of your paychecks into my account. We'll see if we can do that. But I guess that's it. Our small group.
It's still daylight outside.
It's almost daylight. Yeah, kind of.
Don't forget, next Wednesday, come on out here at 7:30 for Adam Warrock live in concert.
Please, I really want to have a lot of people here. I don't want to be the four of us that becomes.
Go back and listen to What I Say, episode 39, the podcast. He seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, and his website. He always has free music on his website. Yeah,
his music's fun. I've listened to it, so I think it'll be a good fun time if we get a lot of people out here.
And if you don't show up, we're sending Joe after
free.
Yes. So that's it. I think they're done vacuuming next door.
They're
vacuuming the walls.
They're yelling.
That was fun.
Next door. I'm afraid.
Next time we do a podcast.
Now they're yelling. Matt knows about the yelling. He was texting me one Sunday going, I think I need to call the cops. So we'll wrap up before the nail people go crazy. And we won't talk to you next week because we're not going to podcast. We're going to be rocking out to Adam Warrock. So, we'll talk to you later. See ya.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Backstock. It's that little bonus piece of podcasting goodness brought to you by your friends at Pittsburgh Comics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I'm Sean Wheatley, and every so often, it actually looks like it's probably going to be about every 3 to 4 weeks here, I do a review of some trade paperbacks and hardbacks, collected editions that I've been reading on airplanes and when I get a rare chance at home to sit down and actually read a book. So tonight we're actually going to go through some Avengers stuff, so that'll get you ready for Avengers versus X-Men or the Avengers movie, which is coming out. So this week I'm going to review Avengers Children Crusade, which is a hardcover. The Marvel Avengers Hawkeye collection, so that is also a hardback. Avengers versus X-Men, It's Coming, the trade paperback, which actually came out just a couple of weeks ago, kind of collects the issues leading up to the big Avengers versus X-Men event going on now. And sticking to my motto, it's still new until I've read it. Tonight I'll talk about Sam Keith, Arcane Asylum Madness hardcover. Then, kind of something a little bit different, we have Gone to America, which is a Vertigo hardcover by Derek McCullough. And then last but not least, as I continue to rebuy my childhood yet again, we're going to go into or take a quick look at the complete Ben Reilly Epic Volume 1. So all of that coming your way tonight. And looks like we got a lot of stuff to cover, so I'm actually going to attack these in the order in which I read them. And I'm going to start with Avengers Hawkeye. It's a hardcover with a price tag of $24.99. And I actually And hopefully, Colin, I get this right. I believe this is one of the books you currently have for 40% off up on the wall, along with the other some of the other Marvel collections. So this this book actually collects the Hawkeye limited series, as well as some additional material, some stuff from Tales to Astonish, another four issue. Or another limited series, a couple of issues of the Avengers. And I think this was really put together just to get you ready for Hawkeye's kind of leading role in the upcoming Avengers movie. For me, I felt like this was not really, like, really that's the excuse to put this book out. And while each of the individual sections was a fun read, I felt like they were somewhat out of order. I would have preferred to see kind of his original origin story from the Tales to Astonish, Tales of Suspense, which was a comic that actually had a two feature. So it's typically Iron Man. In this case, it was also Iron Man and Hawkeye, and with a guest appearance by the Black Widow. And this is where you actually get to see the first evolution or revolution, if you would, of the Hawkeye character. This was actually kind of in the middle of the book. I felt like it would have been better placed up front. They actually started with the four-issue limited series with Mark Gruenwald as writer and penciler. And, for all the years I've been reading comics, I don't think I ever really... I don't really remember or have made a memory of Mark Gruenwald as a penciler. So I'm not sure how much Brett Breeding did as an inker and embellisher, and I am a little bit more familiar with his work. So it is a clean comic, I would say, that kind of Marvel house style, if you would, and it takes you through Hawkeye getting a job as a director of security, working with a team to come up with some new high-tech toys, testing security, and eventually a romance gone sour, and then meeting Mockingbird. So for four issues, it was actually kind of a fun read. You got to see Mockingbird rework Hawkeye's costume. There was definitely a lot of, I guess what I would call, arrow work. So you got to spend, again, if Hawkeye's going to be an archer, let's actually see him using the tools of the trade. So there was a couple of scenes where he was caught without his bow and arrow and had to kind of rely on his own physical prowess, because you remember Hawkeye doesn't per se have any superpowers like super strength or invulnerability. So he, without his bow and arrow or quiver and bow, he's kind of left helpless. And Mockingbird comes to his rescue and thus begins kind of their relationship, which will carry on all the way through up into the modern day Avengers. So if you want to get ready for the Avengers movie, and if indeed Colin does have this for 40% off, which I'm pretty sure he does, up on the wall, I would really recommend this. You get to read a lot of different stories, and like I said, if my biggest hit on this particular book is the sequencing of content, then that's still a pretty good endorsement these days. Next up, I actually went through the Avengers, the Children's Crusade, and this collects, I believe it was a 9-issue, I want to say it was a 9 or a 12-issue limited series. I should probably know that, but again, that's the joy of having the collected edition. I don't really have to concern myself with what issues. But the artwork and the oversized format really worked well for this book. I know it got dinged a little bit because of the pacing. I believe it came out every other month, and in some cases there was even some longer breaks in between some of the issues. And this kind of story was going on alongside of last summer's Marvel event and the beginning of this Marvel event, plus all the different X-Men stories that are going on. So... yeah, a 9-issue limited series. There's also collected in this issue 526 of the Uncanny X-Men and Young Avengers number 1. And like I said, you got to follow up. I got caught up fairly quickly and understood what was going on with Scarlet Witch, what had led up to her kind of removing mutants from the board, if you will, and the fallout from that. I guess, once again, redemption of Magneto. And for me, probably the most interesting part of this whole book was Dr. Doom's participation in his relationship with Wanda. I don't want to give any spoilers because this is a fairly new... this book just came out, and I would recommend you going out to get it. I think it does fit in and helps kind of set the stage for Avengers versus X-Men. And, in fact, the next trade that I'm going to talk about, which is Avengers versus X-Men, It's Coming, actually collects, or it has one of the issues from the Children's Crusade in it. But with the oversized format for the hardcover here, as well as the alternate covers, and finally being able to get through this all in one sitting, the only thing that stung a little bit was the $34.99 price tag. But for the oversized book and the Chung art, definitely worth your money. And I know Colin has a couple of copies of this. So, continuing on our Avengers tear here, Avengers versus X-Men, It's Coming. This is a trade paperback at $19.99 from Marvel. And Marvel's kind of gotten into the habit of putting these collections out in preparation for each of its big events. So prior to World War Hulk and Civil War and the Skrull invasion, there were these quick little paperbacks that were put together because, you know, in typical Marvel style, before the event actually starts, there's little bits and pieces that will be scattered across a number of different books. And, you know, of course, that's to build anticipation and excitement. And it also serves the collectors because it gives you a couple of, you know, little chase issues to go after. And for me, I thought it was great because typically I don't read all of the stuff that Marvel's coming out with these days. So while I may pick up one or two of these chapters because I might be reading, so for example, the Avengers Children Crusade has an issue in here. But I think they did a nice job of handpicking what issues to collect in here. So this has Avengers Children's Crusade number 7, X-Men Schism 5, Magneto Not a Hero number 1, X-Men Second Coming number 1, House of M. So yeah, they actually take you right back to House of M number 8. Avengers X-Sanction number 1, and there was some different material from Point 1 number 1. So again, you're going to have a collection of a lot of different artists, so if you're expecting to read or get like a single story experience, that's not really what this book is intended to do. But if you want to be able to be kind of brought up to speed with some of the things that are referenced right now in Avengers versus X-Men, and you'd like a chance to sample some of these other books... again, $19.99. I grab these each time they come out. For me, those are a particularly enjoyable read on the airplane because, like I said, I get brought up to speed for the event that's going on or coming, and I get kind of a sampler or a tasting of different things, some of the other Marvel books that are out there that I might not necessarily be picking up. All right, next on the list, I'm going to switch gears out of the superheroes for a little bit. Vertigo has put out a book called Gone to America, written by Derek McCullough, with art by Colleen Doran, with Jose, I'm going to butcher this name, I apologize, Villarubia. And this is a little smaller, it's a more of a book-sized as opposed to a comic-sized hardback at $24.99. And what you have here are kind of three storylines about a family or pieces of a family emigrating from Ireland to America at different times. And if you're familiar with any kind of this nonlinear storytelling, I think Matthew Kent with Revolver, and there's a couple other folks that are really adept at this and being able to tell three separate stories, but at the same time having those stories be an influence on on the subsequent storylines that come up. I guess if I had any criticism about this particular book, there's a section in the book that deals with a group of guys that had emigrated over from Ireland in the early 60s, kind of during the beatnik generation. These were kind of artsy folks, singers, and I live in San Francisco, so I don't really have much of a problem with homosexuality in literature or comics or anything like that, per se. But I felt in this particular instance, they spent an awful lot of time exploring that particular facet of those two characters. And again, I don't have a problem with that if that particular facet was something that was moving the story along. And in my opinion, that particular part of their characters didn't really have much to do with moving the story along other than the impact it had on their relationships with the people around them and the relationship that they had between each other. So, again, like I said, overall, that's probably not a big thing, but, for a tight story like this that was really wrapped up in kind of the last five or six pages of the book, to dedicate four or five pages around, explaining their relationship and the vocabulary around it. I guess at that time they were calling each other poofs or whatever, poofery. It was kind of distracting. I was kind of waiting to get back to the actual meat of the story before too long. So there you go, Gone to America, written by Derek McCullough with art by Colleen Doran and Jose Villarubia. Okay, we got two more books left. First one, from the pages of The Amazing Spider-Man, the complete Ben Reilly Epic Volume 1. So, having worked my way through all of the Clone Saga, Original Clone Saga, the Expanded Clone Saga collections, I've decided to just keep going. And now I've got, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm actually rebuying my childhood because I actually have almost all of these issues back in New York. I believe they're in my sister's basement at this point, all nice, bagged and boarded and, preserved for posterity as all good comic collectors did in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. But for me, I don't have the really bad memories about the Clone Saga or Ben Reilly and the Scarlet Spider. So for me, that was probably one of the most fun times to be in comics. Back in the day, Direct Market was really just kind of getting up and going, and some of the stores had more than one distributors to service them, and actually, I remember in the heydays, the new comics were three times a week. So it was a great time to be able to, be able to get a really good, consistent fix on your characters. I was able to read Spider-Man, new Spider-Man stories and books 3, 4, 5, 6 times a month. And while some people kind of bemoan that time, for me, like I said, it got me to go into the comic book store a couple times a week and talk with other folks. And it was the first time there was really a consistent amount of new material coming out. Because prior to that, I would be buying my comics off the spinner rack. And Spider-Man came out once a month, so if you wanted more Spider-Man, you had to pick up a Marvel Tales, which was a reprint of an old one and a Marvel team-up, and maybe he was guest starring in some other book. But during this time, you had all the different Spider-Man books, and then they started spinning out the Scarlet Spider books. So this collection collects the Amazing Scarlet Spider 1 and 2, Green Goblin 3, New Warriors, 65 and 66, Scarlet Spider 1 and 2, Scarlet Spider Unlimited 1, Sensational Spider-Man 19 from 1996, number 0, Spectacular Scarlet Spider 1 and 2, Spider-Man the Parker Years 1, Web of the Scarlet Spider 1 and 2, and a piece of the Wizard mini-comic number 3, Sensational Spider-Man. So here you have, just an amazing collection of folks, Tom DeFalco, Mike Lackey, Howard Mackey, Dan Juergens doing some of the art, illustrations by Mark Bagley, and for me, I know a lot of people think of Mark Bagley from, or remember him from his DC work, and now being back at Marvel. But for me, I'm old enough that, you know, he was my Spider-Man artist, and I was super excited for the long run and all the great work he put in on Amazing Spider-Man. I guess most of the modern or younger readers are probably familiar with his work from Ultimate Spider-Man, but for me, Bagley is kind of my Spider-Man artist. Dan Jurgens, Gil Kane, John Romita Jr., again, all featured in these various issues. And these it's a soft cover. Again, kind of pricey, $39.99, but for the amount of content you get all in one spot, and I believe there's going to be 5 volumes of this. I guess I'm grateful that they were smart enough to make it available in soft cover, because I shudder to think what these books would have cost if they were hardback. And plus, I don't know if there was really an audience for, you know, 4 or 5 hardback collected collections of this material, but totally appropriate for the trade paperback. Last but not least, this week we have a 97-page special from Sam Keith, Arcane Asylum Madness, and the art in this book, Sam Keith, is just amazing. I loved his work when he back in the day when he worked on Marvel Comics Presents. I used to love his Wolverine covers. And then moving over to Image Comics with the Max, I'm okay with the overly stylized kind of caricature type style that he has. I guess the only criticism I might have with all of this is, and it was funny because I was talking to James Syme at Isotope Comics about this today, is there's kind of this undercurrent or this kind of common thread across Sam Keith's work around the topic of children and abusive relationships between adults and children. And now that I am a parent and I've kind of seen these types of stories told in a number of different formats over the years, and again from Sam Keith repeatedly, I felt like it was kind of a tired trope for this exercise. I was actually much more pleased with Sam Keith's recent collaboration with the name's escaping me, but the guitar player, bass player from Anthrax, and the material that they put out last year. And I felt like that was much more had a much better story, and that's probably because Sam was really just working on the art. So there you go. Still a worthwhile read, and at a $19.99 cover price. You know, for the size and weight of the book, again, I think it was a good deal. So, once again, this week, if you go to visit Colin at Pittsburgh Comics and any of these titles interest you, please be sure to ask him about it. So we got Arcane Asylum Madness with Sam Keith. We have the Avengers hardback featuring Hawkeye. Avengers, the Children's Crusade, the oversized hardback. Avengers versus X-Men trade paperback. It's coming. Gone to America from Vertigo. And last but not least, the complete Ben Reilly Epic Volume 1. So, once again, I appreciate your time. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to shoot me an email at leftcoastlove@gmail.com or post a message or a reply on the Pittsburgh Comic website. So, hope to see you soon. And, keep enjoying comics. Bye.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction. Bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood. Acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking